This is nice.
Yeah, dude, I'm fucking, I feel like I'm talking RoboCop's dick, dude.
I know.
We're hooked up, dude.
All up in there.
Yeah, dude.
Yep.
Oh, man, I can't tell how excited I am. One, not just to be back on the show, but to be back with you, man. Like, like the minute you opened the door, I was like, don't say nothing. Just turn the mics on.
Yeah.
I want it to come through, like, how happy I am to be back with my best friend, dude.
Yeah, it's been a cool minute, man. I don't even know when
it's been a not cool minute.
It's been a hot minute.
It's been, the minute's been rough.
Yeah, it's been. But let's just jump right into the fucking thing.
Let's do it.
Social Nuisance Podcast.
Unique New York.
Oh, shit. Okay, bitches, you guys are going to be mind blown.
Oh, we're going to town.
Downtown.
We're going to town. Down.
Yeah.
They're podcasting.
We're podcasting right now.
Social Nuisance.
Social Nuisance Podcast. How you guys doing?
Welcome to Pound Town. Yeah, awesome.
Social Nuisance!
Social Nuisance! Oh, yeah, what the fuck is up?
Yeah, Social Nuisance Podcast.
Pound Town!
Oh, man, it feels good.
Oh.
It feels right.
It's like the first time you didn't use a rubber after you've been using a rubber for a long time.
Yeah, yeah. Once you finally in, you're like... Yes.
I mean, you definitely didn't use a rubber I'm to home. Begin with, but then you've been using a rubber, and then you finally ditched the rubber?
Yeah.
That's what this feels like, dude.
You know, I've never heard a more perfect analogy.
Description, right?
To describe how one feels.
Dude, we're going raw dog today, dude.
Hello, and welcome to the Social Nuisance Podcast, presented by Stars and Street Lamps, your weekly discussion of all things current requiring further insight, opinions, questions, and otherwise kick-in-your-face perspectives towards the betterment of humanity. Subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help Pound Town grow. And get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do, become a short sponsor and we'll advertise or shout out whatever you want.
Whatever.
By dropping a dollar in the Venmo at Social Nuisance.
It's a $1 cameo.
My name is Imagine.
Yep.
And joining me as always, the only man I know willing to bet confidently on the Browns to win the Super Bowl.
Oh, absolutely.
Motion.
Yo. I got logic behind that, bro.
Betting on the Browns?
Yeah.
Just because
the
incredible odds will, incredible turnaround.
Exactly. The way bets work is all the money goes into a pool, right? Mm-hmm. And then the winners split that pool up. So if you bet on a team that everybody bets on, you get less money because more people are involved in that pool.
Correct.
Check this out.
Okay.
I know the odds are slim to none.
Yep.
But if they win, I get all the money from the pool because I'm the only one who bet on the fucking Browns. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's genius.
I mean, seriously, like, whoa, that was a weird button. Is that a new drop?
No.
So.
welcome Barney to the show.
I know. We got to talk about all this new technology we got and stuff. There's all kinds of colors here that I hadn't seen before. So, like, if the Browns run their private plane, like, someone would have to hang out the window, intercept the ball, and then crash the plane.
Right.
Either way, I get all the money in the pool. So, it's a $1 bet.
That's the goal.
I bet $1 on the Browns to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
Damn well knowing they're not involved.
Yeah.
And, I mean, fucking weird things.
I'm a flip this dollar.
You know what it is? I grew up on those McDonald's commercials. Hey, it could happen. Remember that?
Oh, I do remember that campaign.
Yeah.
And it could.
Good.
They don't know when.
I don't think it can. But if it does, I'm getting all the money, bro.
Yeah, that's definitely the way to go. But I'm glad to be back, man. It just feels good to know that we're back and everyone knows that we're
in
here.
In front of a live audience.
Everyone's here.
Everybody's masked up.
Someone,
don't worry.
Someone brought these kids and we're, you know, fuck them kids.
But y'all don't say that.
I just say what I want. but at any point... it's good to be back.
It is.
How you been spending your off season, if you will?
Oh, bro, terribly, dude. Life's been a whirlwind, man, and I don't even want to fucking hop into it. How have you been spending your off? You know what? That's funny. You bring it up. Season. You know, like TV shows.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually, other podcasts that I follow, they have seasons.
Fucking lazy bitches.
That's what I'm talking about. You and I just went hard for like 5 years straight.
We just go weekly, and if it works, it works.
All this free fucking content.
Yep.
I will tell you what is, I haven't, so if you're a listener and you got a favorite bit or something that I've said, tweet it to me because I am doing stand-up now.
Yep.
And I know I've fucking dropped gems on this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't go back and fucking read this. I just say it because usually, you know, 9 times out of 9 times, I'm drunk when we do the show. And I just fucking say what the fuck, whatever the fuck I say.
What we need is an intern to go back and just review all the content. Yeah. And just, hey, pull out the funny shit. Write that down.
But even that, if we explore that, right?
Right.
Okay, so me, obviously, I'm considered the conservative perspective, even though that's not how I live.
I'm actually going to say the funny one, because we hear that often.
No, dude, I wouldn't. No, I don't reiterate what the fucking ignoramuses say.
Okay.
But here's the thing. And then, and it's, I love that you don't like that I get called the funny one, because I don't like that you get called the intelligent one.
You know, we're a solid both. I feel like I'm a solid both. I mean, yeah, oh yeah, the funny one. I'm like, hey man, I got some zingers in there.
No, you definitely do. And you know what's funny is we pick up for each other. When you're being funny, I try to be intelligent. And when you're being intelligent, I try to be funny.
That works out.
We got it, dude. We both go both ways.
Yeah, we do.
all right. So, what was that? Hit that drop again.
Yeah, that was the minion.
All right. So, we got drops now, y'all.
Yeah, I'm having fun with these fucking things. Right, I've been wanting to have drops.
I know, we both have.
For years.
Remember, we tried on our phone. Beep, 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 beep. We tried.
I got to plug that in.
All right.
I don't have that.
All right. Intern. If you and I were to have an intern, it would have to be like a black trans person to make sure the show that we're allowed to say the things we say and just never get. Have you been worried? All right, let's jump right into it.
Clearly.
All right. So
come on in. The water's fine.
Have you followed the Rogan drama of the past 2 weeks?
Yeah. The Rogan drama. So, The Joe Rogan Experience, now on Spotify. Uh-huh. Hugely popular. If you don't know the Joe Rogan Experience and you listen to podcasts, I don't believe you, because if you listen to podcasts,
you know
Joe Rogan.
At least.
So anyways, Joe Rogan has been saying some apparent anti-vaccine shit indulging alternative perspectives.
That's a better way to say it.
And he pissed off Neil Young, and Neil Young was like, hey man, I don't like your opinion, so I'm going to protest by taking my music off Spotify.
Yes, which is true, but that's not even the part that I mean, because that part... Okay. So that part's not even to me...
I honestly have no idea what the fuck he even
controversial.
Said.
Controversial. So, no, he just had doctors who...
have been discredited.
No. No, he had actually...
That's true.
Two top of the like doctors on both sides. He had Sanjay Gupta, and then this other one, I don't fucking know. But anyways... It wasn't about that. It was, okay, so that happened, but Neil Young had already had issues with Spotify because...
Oh, yeah.
MP3.
Because he's old and doesn't like new technology.
No, well, he doesn't like... He wants his music to be as layered as... You know when you bought a CD, it was like 40 gigs of data?
Yeah.
In a CD.
Yeah.
And it was all the layers to the music, the way they recorded it, the way they wanted you to hear it.
The good quality, yeah.
Spotify, obviously, it wouldn't make sense to stream a 4 gigabyte song, right? That would be terrible. So they go to MP3... and shrink it down to like 3 megabytes, and that's what you hear. So he always had a problem with that. And he always had an issue with his music being on there. He always wanted it pulled off, and he used Rogan as an excuse for that. That's not what I'm talking about. But after that, there were these political hit pieces after him, and one of which...
On Rogan?
Yeah.
Okay.
One of which, somebody took a whole... Like, they listened to a bunch of episodes. I think the most recent one was like 7 or 8 years ago, and then they went from 8 years ago to like 14 years ago. Back, and
there was podcasting 14 years ago.
Yeah, he was one of the early ones.
Okay, good for him, man.
And well, that's why he makes the big bucks. So they took every time he ever said the N-word, and without any context, and just clipped it. So the video is him going N-word.
Yeah.
Okay. Super out of line, right? Doesn't matter the context.
Yeah, you just don't say the word. You say N-word.
All right. So even one of the times was like, he was talking about how the Netflix CEO said, you guys cannot say, and he said, the actual N-word instead of the N-word. This is unacceptable. And he's repeating the conversation. And a lot of times it was like he's saying how Red Fox used to say it on TV. And a lot of it, the context was very important in a lot of it, but still. And in his apology video, he goes, yo, the fact that I'm having to tell people I'm not racist means I fucked up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So his apology was genuine and cool and everything, but this is what I'm getting at. It's got nothing to do with Rogan as far as what the example is. What it is do you ever have a fear that somebody's going to chop up our podcast? So here's the thing. When he started it, he started it like we started it. They started it in a living room I mean, we didn't smoke weed, but they were smoking weed.
Yeah, yeah.
And they did, it just became this thing. And then somebody had to go back 7 years and then further back and chop up fucked up shit, he said. Now, I've been ultra fucking careful because I had lived in the South. And I don't think you've ever said the N-word on this podcast. I know I've never said the N-word.
Said the N-word out loud amongst people.
No. Yeah. So, but I know that we've said fucked up, or not we, I have.
Thank you.
But that, look, see, that's part of taking shit out of context. They're going to clip the part where I go, I know we've, and just clipped it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So
that's how it works. They get the sound bites.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Let's give them some bites. Cunt, cock, chicken, Hitler. I don't know. What does it take?
I mean, I live in a constant state of fear, but
of awareness. There you go.
That something will always be said and someone may say something and what have you. And if we ever get to that platform where people try to hold us accountable for, you know, some fucked up.
Oh, that's said, gross. If somebody ever holds me accountable.
And it's, what I would hope to be refreshing would be someone saying, did you listen to the whole show? Did you listen to the context?
Yeah, the context.
But the problem is when you're trying to have that argument with someone and you're trying to appease someone, that someone is usually not in a frame of mind where they're willing to hear you out.
Well, here's the other thing.
Or meet you in the middle. They already made their decision. They're going to crucify you anyways. So if that's the route they're going to go, then I'm like, well, fuck you. I'm not even going to try to, like Chappelle. Why am I going to spend time trying to argue with someone that's already made up their mind?
Okay. I have the perfect teeter-totter on that point. So I live in a world of nuance. I want to see the exact same shit you guys see, but I want to notice something different.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
So, and I feel like that's where the comedy is. It's in finding out what I saw that you didn't see, even though we both looked at the same thing.
Yeah.
But I'm going to live under the canopy of saying I'm a comic.
Yep.
Okay? I'm joking. At the end of the day, I spent all day trying to find a way to make people laugh.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss.
Yeah.
They can't all be home runs.
Clearly.
Right?
I've seen it.
Okay. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
I believe that's where Rogan comes from, even though he interviews people who aren't comics.
Right.
At the end of the day, he still is himself.
Right.
Now, here's a guy who I think takes advantage of that situation. Bill Maher.
Okay.
Who dropped the N-bomb on HBO.
I remember that
very recently.
Yeah, that controversy not long ago.
Okay?
Yep.
And then had Ice Cube come on to say, we N-words forgive you.
Yeah.
All right? Ice Cube. Bill Maher doesn't come off as a comic in that show.
Yeah.
He is a comic, but he comes off as a political
pundit
or commentator even.
Sure.
Even if not a pundit, like a comic, like.
Sure.
But he's not clearly declaring that he's a comic.
Yeah.
So people watch that show and they take it as, for lack of better terms, news. They take it as information.
Yeah.
Not commentary.
When you're out of your platform, then you're not what you normally do as a comic. As a comic, you're a comedian, you're on stage, you're doing stand-up. Clearly, you're doing your comedian thing.
Yeah.
But when you start to take on different platforms, then you're not really, you know, comedian anymore. And at that point, you can't use the comedian guys like, I was just joking.
Exactly. And it's he like, doesn't
You have to realize your platform, and you have to adjust your delivery and your commentary accordingly to the platform that you're on. You have to realize like, I'm setting this up as a news show. I should probably conduct myself accordingly.
Well, and Rogan always prefaces shit with like, don't listen to me. I'm an idiot. I'm a meathead. I'm a comedian.
That's bullshit. You can't do that.
He prefaces it. But Bill Maher doesn't preface that. What happens is when Bill Maher missteps, he comes back and goes, well, I'm a comedian. I'm allowed to say whatever I want.
I think both of them are full of shit. You can't preface and say, well, what the fuck are you listening to me for? I'm just, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Well, he definitely says, like, get your advice from somewhere else.
But you can't also conduct a conversation and be incredibly insightful and incredibly intelligent and coming off as an educated conversation.
I think
and then be like, well, what the fuck do I know? I just
know weights. No. I think what he does is he allows the guest to be all of those things that you listed while he explores them. He allows them to be insightful.
In a comedic fashion?
Usually, or sometimes it's not funny.
Exactly. You can say some funny shit. You can just be a normal person and say some funny shit.
I mean, you could be a comic and interview a doctor.
Yeah, you can. But if you're still in character as the comedian, that's one thing.
Well, that's the thing. In character.
Yeah.
So I think the difference is Rogan is always himself, and Bill Maher kind of flips between.
Not if he's cutting. Not if he's saying that I'm a meathead. If you preface by saying, if he prefaces himself by saying, discredit what I'm saying because.
Well, he doesn't say discredit. He says get your own information.
But if he's prefacing himself by saying I'm a meathead or knocking himself off his own pedestal before he even begins the conversation, that in itself invites that we're not supposed to take him seriously.
Exactly.
But he understands that people do.
Well,
that and that's what is deceptive about it. And that's what I find.
What is he supposed to do for those people?
Tell people I'm
a meathead?
No.
Don't take me seriously?
No, he's supposed to say I'm actually an insightful person. I have perspectives. I have views. These are the views of myself. These are my personal views.
Well, I think he takes pride in the same way that I do, not declaring our views, like playing contrarian, exploring ideas.
You can be yourself and still be contrarian.
Do you hear an echo in me? I don't want it to irritate the listeners. No. I feel okay.
I think it's just the room.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
Fuck this room.
Yeah. No, I love this room. By the way, can we do that? Can we talk about what you've built here?
Sure.
Can we talk about
So last time we were here, you know, we have our handheld microphones and, you know, we had a small controller. You know,
it could always hear motion tapping with his nervous ticks.
You're usually playing with your microphone and shit.
Yeah.
I invested. So, you know.
I feel like we're in a spaceship.
I started my label, Stars and Street Lamps, you know, in 2010.
Yep.
Incorporated it into an LLC.
Can we get a drop for that?
I don't have that.
Can we get a bomb or something? No, I need the opposite of that.
I incorporated. Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
that's about, dude.
So I created the label and incorporated it to an LLC in 2020, right as the pandemic started. Literally, right when the pandemic started. Mm-hmm. Let's start a business. What a great time.
Yeah.
Dumbass.
No. Don't let me near those buttons, bro.
So then I started a label. And I was thinking, you know, what could possibly go wrong other than a fucking, you know, worldwide pandemic, you know, and that's how it went down. But since then,
I'm trying to memorize what noises or what colors.
So I wrote it down. I wrote it down. So anyways, we've rebuilt over the past couple of years between me and my wife, and we got a house, and, you know, we've been doing the podcast here at the house, but finally had enough money to save up, and I was like, you know, I'm going to finally start investing in the business. I'm getting back to business. So I did. So I reinvested, and I, you know, we got a new audio interface.
Yes.
Shout out the Rode, fucking shit. I forgot what Rodecaster, whatever the hell. Oh. Yeah, so we got that going. We got the microphones. We got the clamps shit that are like holding the microphones. It's all nice and fancy.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we got clamps.
Yeah.
For this. Yeah. Oh, fuck, it fell off. All right.
Yeah, it's not as strong as you thought it'd be. Yeah. So we have all that, and then we have, you know, the lights going up and everything, and it's looking all nice and pretty.
Oh, I love it, dude.
Yeah. We're going to spin it. So Motion just tore off the arm.
Well, you barely tightened it, bro. You weren't prepared for me to do my Ace Ventura impersonation.
Did you see how I had to cut into the table to make it fit?
That's very, did very handyman-ish.
Yeah, I had to make it work.
Yeah, did you wear gloves and safety goggles? I hope you did.
Nah, just my glasses.
Oh, well, you're glad. All right.
So I invested, and now, you know, I'm trying to, you know, get the business back on track. So now we got Social Nuisance.
Yep.
I got Secret. the Dig podcast coming up, and then also got the podcast to do with my wife, Tell Me a Secret. And then, you know, the music is still going strong and all kinds of shit. So yeah, just invest in yourself. You know, that's what I did. So
good,
here
man.
We are, and now we got all kinds of fancy shit. Now we got little fucking fancy drops.
Yay, yay.
I like that one.
I like that one too.
Shout out the kids.
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, that's been my off season.
All right.
Trying to get back on track and, you know,
I've been writing so much.
Doing the damn thing. How's the stand-up comedy going?
It goes so well when I do it.
Right.
Like, if I go out every night, I fucking, like, catch leads onto this, onto that. I've been in beautiful green rooms. So I didn't know there's a whole culture of green rooms. So, like, I mean, I know there's green rooms.
Yeah.
But I didn't know you could be invited to the green room and not go on stage.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, they're like.
That's a rapper's posse. They're just there.
Dude.
They don't really do anything.
Were we podcasting when I did MERS and DJ Quick?
I think you talked about it.
Did I? So
I think so.
Murs had gone on Instagram Live, and I went on with him, and I wrote for him, like, I don't know, 8 years ago. Sure. And it was like, yo, Age of Motion, blah, 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 blah. I got a show at the Roxy. You should come down.
Nice.
And I go, yeah, I'd love to, man. I'm doing a stand-up now. And he goes, I got 2 tickets for you. They'll call you tomorrow with confirmation. He called me like a week later. CPT, bro.
Sure.
You know what that is?
Nope.
Color people time.
Got it.
So he called me much later than they said. But then, so I go, and he goes, hey, man, how about this? Like, the guy before me is like this real deep poet. And he's going to kind of like set the tone for the room, and it's gonna be like
he's gonna lower the bar, like
exactly.
He's gonna,
like, it's gonna, but the poetry's dope, but it's sad.
Yeah.
So can you go out there and do like 5 minutes of jokes and then intro me?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, sure, I can. I mean, give me 2 free tickets. So I go out there, and like as soon as I hit the stage, so the red curtain is right behind me. I got like 1 foot of stage. There's a spotlight on me, and I'm like, oh man, I'm looking out to the crowd, and this fucking poet just went up, and which I know my poetry is better than his poetry, but that's not what I'm here for, right?
Right.
And so I'm looking around, and I'm just like, it was an LA crowd though. Mm-hmm. So I kind of jumped into my like East LA comedy, my, you know, being a white boy growing up in La Puente bullshit.
Right.
And I win the crowd over, dude. And like right when I got him, I have a whole nother bit that I know like this is going to kill the room, but I have them at the peak. And I think of, Sons of Anarchy. Mm. Sons of Anarchy, the way that show worked, there used to be an intro, right? Then a conflict right here, the peak, and then a resolution is how most stories go.
Right.
They would end the episode at the conflict and then start the next episode at the resolution. Oh, so okay. It made you watch.
Yeah, yeah,
I the see next, that. You know what I mean?
I see what you're doing, Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, so okay. That's what I did. So I built up, and before I hit the punchline, I just go, y'all ready to see fucking MERS? And everybody like cracks like, yeah. They didn't even give a shit about my dumbass joke.
Yeah, yeah.
So I go, all right, let me go get him. Because I didn't know if he was ready or not. So I run backstage, right?
Yeah.
And I'm on the mic. I'm like, yo, I'm looking for this motherfucker MERS. And he's doing this like thing because his album is kind of about COVID and everything. He's like all in PPE.
Yeah.
And he's right there like, what the fuck? And I go, I have my camera out. I'm like, yo, here he is. And I go, yo. And I'm like pushing him. And I'm filming him get up on stage. And then I give him the mic. I'm like, yo, it's motherfucking MERS. And then the fucking curtain opens. MERS walks out and is like, shit. And he starts rapping. And I'm filming him on side stage. I get off that stage. And I walk back to the green room. And I'm like, fuck, I don't even know how I pulled that shit off. Quick is there.
Nice.
And Quick is like, hey, homie, that shit was dope as fuck. I got a show next month at the Vermont, which I never even fucking heard of.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Yo, phenomenal venue.
Oh, it was a phenomenal green room.
No. Oh, that green room was dope as too.
Okay.
But that venue is amazing, dude. If you ever get a chance to go see anybody you like at the Vermont, it's like between an El Pollo Loco and a car wash.
Yeah.
It's really fucked up. But when you get in the door, it's amazing. The sound system, the lights, it was just beautiful. It was a great venue.
That sounds like fun.
So he wanted me to go intro him. So I introed him. And yeah, I was on the side of the stage for Sugar Free and DJ Quick. And I don't even know how we got into the story. You asked me how comedy was going.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's how it's going when I do it. I end up on stage with DJ Quick, I guess. I done Brea Improv. I opened for Felipe Esparza at Ontario Improv. That one was kind of whack. I mean, I always do well on stage. I want like to develop more material. I've done Bruce's. I've done like a lot of spots and kind of bigger spots than I should be. Like when I talk to my friends who are at my level, they're like, oh, you didn't do the park at Pomona outside with the guy who has the microphone in the little box, the battery-operated speaker? Like, oh, no, I skipped that step. I went to Brea.
Remember that at the Improv? You yeah. Catch me? Get my ticket?
You didn't see me?
I put you on the list?
Oh, I opened for these two bitches that I thought were from New York, but it turns out they're LA bitches. Kim Congdon? It was super cool. That one was rough because, all right, so it was a... A family in the front. I only had 5 minutes. This is my second time on stage at Brea.
Nice.
All right. Let me give you the story. First time on stage at Brea, I killed. And my dumbass, being arrogant, I go, yo, what's up, improv? Give me a headlining spot. Like I got 45 minutes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't got 45 minutes. So
you could just talk for 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah, I could do that. And hopefully something funny happens,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Am
yeah.
I right?
You'll figure
this
it out.
Guy knows what I mean.
We do it.
Push a button, dude.
We do it weekly.
Anyways, so then the manager comes to me. She goes, hey, don't ever fucking call me out my club again. She's a beautiful girl, dude. Nice. Over at Bray Improv. I'm like, all right, I didn't. Well, I guess I can. So then like a month later, she calls me and she goes, you remember talking all that shit on my stage?
Yeah.
And I go, hey, to be fair, does this sound familiar?
What?
This story I'm telling?
Story? No.
Okay, cool. All right. So I go, hey, to be fair, what stage is yours? And she goes, Brea. And I go, oh yeah, I remember talking that shit. And she goes, I'll give you 5 minutes tonight, but you fucking better act right. I'm like, okay, cool. And she's like, these two bitches from New York, this is gonna be a tough crowd.
Yeah.
I'm like, cool, I got it. Yeah, I got it. And I go, and I'm like 2 minutes into jokes, and there's this drunk family in the front row. It's like the mom's 60th birthday. Her daughters are all drunk and everything. And they just won't shut the fuck up. They think it's interactive. There's a whole thing about when you're opening comic, you're not supposed to interact with the crowd. Because then the crowd thinks the show's interactive for the remaining comics.
Got it.
So it sucks.
Yeah.
But here's the other thing. You got to shut hecklers down.
Yeah.
So they don't heckle the rest of the show.
Yeah.
And this bitch was out of pocket, dude. I fucking went hard on them, dude. Like, I went hard. I was like, what the fuck? Like, why are you talking right now? Like,
no,
what are you doing?
God, please, no.
Just shut him up. Nope. Dude. No. Not allowed.
And she's like, oh, it's my mom's 60th birthday. I'm like, how the fuck is your mom's 60th birthday? You look 100. What the fuck are you talking about? And I go, so this is your family? And she's like, yeah. I was like, you guys look like a fucking AA meeting. So I rip into him for my remaining 3 minutes, right? Yeah. And I get off the stage, and the headliner comes up, gives me a hug. She's like, don't worry about it. Like, thank you so much. Like, you took care of it. We're not going to have to deal with it. And I was like pissed, dude, because I fucked up the first time.
Sure.
And now the second time, they give me a shot, and I'm like, I just fucking destroyed this family. So, the manager comes over.
Just a nice family night. Just a family outing. Shut down by a comic. Yeah. That's funny.
And then the manager goes, hey, dude, don't worry about it. I know you spent your time taking care of that. You had to do that. I'll give you more time, like in a week or two. Just let me figure you out on the schedule.
Nice.
So then, as that happens, like, I'm pissed. The girls go up. They do their time. I'm going to show you a picture.
Nice.
And we'll post it on the thing.
Love it.
And so I'm sitting outside after the show, you know, like the comics are waiting for the fans to come out.
Oh, yeah. Like they're like the meet and greet kind of shit.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So me and the two headliners are talking. Actually, me and the one headliner are talking. The other headliner is kind of right back there. And the girl comes out and she goes, you're fucking rude. The drunk girl.
Oh, to you?
Yeah. I go, I'm rude?
What?
Exactly. I go, I spent hours writing shit down in a hope that these people might fucking call me. You know how much time they gave me in the past 3 months? 10 minutes. 10 fucking minutes. So I come here with my 5 fucking well-written minutes, ready to tear shit up, and you fucking ruin the night, right? And so
what the fuck?
Exactly. So as I say that, me and this girl were talking,
yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's the headliner. That's right. The other headliner.
Yep.
This one grabs a girl by her shoulder, pushes her, and goes, picture! And puts her arm around me. So this is the security took this picture as I'm fucking yelling at this bitch. And then me and Kim turn around and just laugh. So that's that picture. We should shoot it. But that's why she's got the fakest smile, because she threw the girl off me and goes, picture. Yeah. And then me and Kim are.
Nice.
It's funny. You guys will laugh when you see it.
That's how you break the ice.
Yep.
That's cool.
Yeah, but can you believe they're fucking headlining Bray Improv? I mean, they're killing it, dude.
I mean, they're comedians.
They're doing great, dude.
Good for them, man.
I'm stoked to be a part of the generation where female comics are coming up, dude.
Why is that?
Because they never got credit. Even like my favorite comic, Norm Macdonald, always talked about how women weren't funny. Like, yeah. So the whole, like, where humor comes from is men trying to trick women into love. Like, I might not be attractive, but I'm funny. Women.
It's a solid strategy. It's worked for me for years.
Well, that's where humor came from. That's why I fuck.
That's all I got. That's all I got.
But women don't really ever have to be funny because they're the ones who decide.
I mean, I guess in that basis, that was that perspective. Theory,
yes, I don't agree with it either.
Yeah, I know what I'm trying to say, but like, you
but
know,
here's the other thing.
But they kind of do.
I fucking fall in love with funny women.
Oh, I mean, how
when there's a funny when she cracks a joke, I'm like, I'll crash the car.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like when someone funny that's a girl says something, it blows my mind.
Do you think that's how they feel about us being funny?
No.
No?
No. I think they're like, you're a 7 out of 10. Not you, but me.
I'm definitely maybe at least a solid 5.
Better be a 9 out of 10 if you're funny.
Okay.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, I work for funny. I think about funny all the time. Yeah. I write jokes. I sit down and go, I'm not doing nothing but looking for funny shit in my brain. And I find it, dude. I find it.
That's funny.
Thanks.
So, you know, most people, they look for funny. They look for the right thing to say. And we spend a lot of time trying to think about the right thing to say. And, you know, some men can do that. Other men just cannot do that. And there's actually a particular person who has identified that some men just fucking suck at it. A labor and delivery nurse has been overhearing dads saying really stupid shit.
Uh-oh.
So she took to TikTok, as any other labor and delivery nurse would.
Most nurses do.
Yeah. And decided to share some of these things. And as I was reading up, I was like, I just can't fathom ever saying some stuff like this. So some things include telling the nurse, hey, I think you should just get a C-section. This is taking too long.
A father saying that?
That's to the wife in that sense. Like,
Or the
baby mama. Hey, you should probably let's just slice you open, man. Let's just get it going.
Wait. Is it clear that it's the baby's father? Because I could see the mom's father saying that. Like the grandpa being like, this is taking forever.
Well, this is all specifically to the inappropriate dads in this particular situation. Another dad was quoted as saying, hey, sew an extra stitch down there for me, doc. We want everything just the way it was before all of this.
That's funny.
Not if they actually mean it.
No, he doesn't mean that, dude.
Does he, though?
We can't pick his context.
I'm pretty sure.
That's hilarious. I hope that doctor put two extra stitches.
And then you have to know, like, timing, bro. Like,
that's the perfect time. When else could he say that? What do you mean?
Another one was quoted as saying, are you sure you want an epidural? My mom didn't have one. Before you make a decision, we should talk about it.
Yeah, but his mom probably hit him. No, get the epidurals, girls.
And then another one was quoted as also saying, hey, how long is this going to take? I have plans this weekend. At what point, like, what's more important than the birth of your child? I mean, I was stoked. I remember being there, and it took damn near all night. We went there Thursday night, Friday night. We checked in, like, at 5.
Okay, p.m.?
Yeah, I think we checked in. We're like, we're here for an appointment. They're like, no, you're staying.
What do you mean an appointment?
I think it was like a check-in.
Did she have a natural?
Yeah.
Okay. Did she get the epidural?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay, good. Yeah. She was a fucking tough cookie. As a father,
is that not the scariest part?
Oh, yeah.
I remember when Vinny was being born, and they go, okay, they don't even take you out the hospital bed. They sit up.
Yeah, they
roll you over. And you turn, and they go, don't fucking move, or you'll be paralyzed.
Yeah, dude.
And I go, hey, dude, I should leave the room. And they're like, no, you should be here. I go, no, because I'm going to say something, and she's going to chuckle, and you're going to paralyze her, dude. Me and Vinny's mom at that time, we had, like, this great relationship where we just, like, talk shit, and we bust each other's balls.
Yeah, yeah.
And when the guy goes, if you fuck up, she's going to be paralyzed, I go, I should not be here.
I'm not going to help the situation.
Did you say or do anything? Because I know something I said.
Oh, I didn't say shit, dude. I saw, like, you know, number one, you know, she was dealing with the pain.
You're talking about
the contractions. My wife during the time. So she, you know, they sat her up in the bed and they turned her around and the dude came out and the fucking huge ass Neil was there.
Yeah.
And at that point, I was like,
thick.
Yeah.
It's a girthy needle.
I've
seen slimmer pens.
I was not in a position to say a fucking thing. So just sitting
after
I was sitting on pins and needles the size of that fucking epidural needle. I didn't say a fucking thing. And then once they were done, I was like, is she okay? Is everything okay?
And, like, and they don't know. They don't know until it wears off.
The anesthesiologist is like, yeah. And then just kind of like got his shit knocked out.
Because they could paralyze her.
Yeah.
But it could just be the anesthesia.
Yeah.
You don't find out until they were like, well, she should be able to move her legs now. And you're like, well, it's been 8 hours. Oh, fuck, she paralyzed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I might have fucked this up. Yeah.
So during the birth, I'll never forget because we're big fans of...
Walking Dead.
Not American History X. No, my son's older than that.
Oh, okay.
What's that talent show, American History X? The one in the beginning?
American Idol?
Yeah, that one.
Same thing.
So we're huge American Idol fans, right?
same.
Because it was like the second year.
Right.
And I remember telling her, like, hey, dude, hurry up and have this kid. American Idol's on in an hour. But that was me telling her to push him out.
Yeah.
So now if you wrote that down at a nurse and put that in that article, I would look like a shitbag. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that was a joke. I didn't give a fuck about American Idol.
I know, but I mean, I guess some people, some relationships, they know. Like,
but she could just write that down out of context.
Maybe she knows, though.
Here's the other thing.
She knows jokes.
So when she finally had Vinny, his name was between Jules, Vincent, or Alexander.
Nice.
Okay? While when she finally had him, Godfather 3 was on TV. And at that point, the brother kills a Catholic priest, and he goes, "This is a message from Vincent." And he fucking strangles him.
Nice.
And literally, Vinny popped out. And I go, "Vincent." So.
And done.
See.
That was easy.
Yeah. So that's why Vinny got his name.
Nice.
That's so cool, from Godfather 3, terrible fucking scene where they kill the Pope.
Yeah, someone's dying. That's awesome.
But what I'm saying is, like.
So warm and fuzzy.
This nurse, like. Because a couple of those could have just been funny.
Okay. Well, how about a guy who actually said something straight from his mouth to the world? And as always, if you sent it, you meant it. And this particular guy, a Christian pastor, Brian Suave.
Alrighty, I don't like it.
Not suave at all. a pastor at Refuge Church in Ogden, Utah, took to Twitter with an open letter to ladies.
First of all, Ogden, Utah, way too many vowels. Go ahead.
He put up a post and he wrote, "Dear ladies, there is no reason whatsoever for you to post pictures of yourself in low-cut shirts, bikinis, bras, and anything similar.
I think he ever was talking to his wife. Go ahead.
Not to show your weight loss journey, not to show your newborn baby, not to document your birth story. Signed, your brothers."
Ew, dude.
Hey, Utah, bro.
Ew, dude.
Yeah.
Ew.
We don't need to see
smell you. Smell his fingers. Does it smell like his sister's vagina?
Low-cut shirts, bikinis, bra, and underwear. Or
what's the matter with that guy, dude? He's writing for all brothers?
So many people criticized Suave for his misogynistic thoughts, saying they condemn and seek to control women by vilifying their bodies.
It's not even misogynistic. It's incestual.
Yep. I mean, I get it. I mean, your brothers and sisters, it's a church thing, I suppose, right?
No, but in a place where polygamy is accepted.
So why did he say dear ladies instead of dear sisters if he's going down that route?
Did he start with dear sisters?
No, he should have. If he's going to say your brothers,
no, well,
as
I think,
in brothers and sisters.
I think that was his punchline. I think he had the setup. He had the premise, the setup, and the yeah.
The only punchline is a punchline to his face.
Yes. And I'll do it my damn self.
I just don't understand why, number one, why men feel a need to comment on women's bodies.
Well, I don't think men do. I think you're talking about a guy, but go ahead.
A lot of men.
Comment
on women.
As if, not
to objectify.
No.
But as to speak on shit.
I got pushback on that.
You don't know, and B, it's not yours.
So. I got pushback on that. When you're ready.
So that was the first part. Like, why do men in that capacity have to do that?
Yeah.
Number two, why do people have to comment on shit that has nothing to do with them? Why do you feel like a need to say anything?
I got an angle on that,
don't fucking understand. Go ahead.
But pushback.
Yes.
On the first one.
Yep.
Is why do men feel... So here's my pushback. Men compliment and fucking... Like, in a weird fucking innumerable way, compliment girls with bad bodies on the internet.
Compliment girls with bad bodies. Like, so, bad good or bad?
Bad bad.
Bad,
like,
bad.
Like, there's fucking, you know, tortita bonitas, whatever.
Sure.
And guys are just, like, all on it on the internet.
Sure.
Maybe not in real life.
Sure.
But on the internet, they fucking go hard for all women, whether they're big, small, little.
You know. I'm just trying to fuck is what they're trying to do.
Exactly.
Okay, gotcha.
So that's my pushback on the first point. Because you're saying, why do they feel the need to comment on a woman's body? They comment on them good or bad. They just comment on women's bodies.
Okay, I see where you're
coming with
that.
That's my pushback. You see it? All right, cool. I got you caught up?
Yep.
All right, cool. Because I'm not good at getting people where I need them to be.
Glad to be here.
Continue. All right.
Yeah.
And the second one was...
Why do people got to do that in general? Why can't you just mind your own fucking business?
Well, here's the thing. Social media.
Okay.
So he's talking about women who post. And he's posting about women who post.
Yeah.
So if they don't want to be commented on... And he doesn't want his comments being reflected on.
Yep.
Everybody should shut the fuck up.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, if somebody wants to post their weight loss journey.
They're making it public commentary.
To a degree, yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
To a degree,
yes. Even if your profile is private, but this dude follows you, he now has a right to comment on it. You posted it. Maybe he doesn't have a right to be slanderous.
Yes.
You know?
I'll agree to that.
But now you've made it out there.
Yeah, you put it out there.
You did that.
That is true. And that's kind of like the celebrity argument I always have, like, you know, being a celebrity and living, seeking a position where you're going to be in the public limelight.
Yeah.
You're subject to commentary. Yeah. It just comes with the territory.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm a musician. I just want to make music. I don't want to do it. That kind of comes with it now.
Since we started this podcast, I always said Facebook is a microphone.
Yeah.
Not everybody needs to be heard.
Yeah.
But if you're fucking talking into a microphone, someone might call you retarded.
Yeah.
Someone might comment on your grammar. Someone might comment on your physique. Someone might comment on your presentation.
Mm-hmm.
So don't do it. Whatever you don't want to share, don't fucking share it. I'm in a position right now where I'm keeping something very fucking close to my chest.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay, so I'll give you that point where if
those are my two pushbacks.
The second one is a solid pushback. The first one,
it's a solid. The first one's more solid than the second one. I don't even remember what the first one is.
If you are going to post something on a public platform,
even if you have it private,
yeah,
the people who follow you are still allowed.
Yeah, realize you're entering a public platform.
Yep.
And as such, you'll be commented on. That's true. That is true. On the other side, the Bambi rule. If you have nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all.
That does not work in social media.
No, well, it should work in just general.
Yeah, if you this have, golden rule, yeah.
Yeah.
Treat people how you want to be treated. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I agree.
So Brian Suave, if you don't have anything nice to say or constructive to say, shut the fuck up. Keep scrolling.
Yeah.
Keep on scrolling, Brian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Or turn the page. But if you're going to turn the page, just make sure you're not turning the page on one of these banned books. Heard about Mouse? Did you ever read Mouse?
No.
So there's like this book that's been going around called Mouse, M-A-U-S.
Okay.
And it's about mice. Use that kind of like a metaphor for the background of like Jewish oppression, the Holocaust, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
So on and so forth. And there has been some pushback for the book being included in public libraries for schools, libraries.
Okay.
So some parents are trying to have it removed and they
just in the library, not required reading.
I'm not sure if it's required reading, but I think one of those
like suggested. Text.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because there's a big difference between required reading and it's in the library.
Right.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
No, so I'm just dumbfounded by we're still doing that. Like, we're removing books.
No, we definitely have been removing books. This kind of works. Can I do a segue thing?
Sure.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, right. She got 2-week suspension.
That's right. Which is, to me, an act of racism.
Okay, Whoopi Goldberg's suspension
is an act of racism.
Is an act of racism.
To me.
Continue.
Okay, so here's the thing. She takes pride in being a part of the Jewish culture. That's why she changed her name to Goldberg. Okay? As a black woman, her experience in America is racially based, but in a way that's so basic, it's almost skins versus shirts.
Yeah.
Jerseys versus skin, you know, like,
so sure.
What her comment was that the, what's it called where they kill the Jews? The Holocaust.
Yeah. That
was not race-based. It was one shitty white man being shitty to other white men.
Okay.
But she was speaking ignorantly. I don't agree with that. That was her comment. First of all, Hitler was designing in his head the ultimate race, right?
Right.
So it was definitely fucking race-based.
Yeah.
Like, right off the bat, it was based on race.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. She fucked up. The next day, she said she fucked up.
Yeah.
And she brought a dude from, like, a Jewish organization to explain how she fucked up. She did that all on her own.
Nice.
Okay?
Okay.
The ABC... ABC, yeah.
That's yeah, where she ABC, works. Where, yeah.
Okay. Put her in a 2-week suspension.
Yep.
Go to timeout.
Yep.
Don't talk.
Yep.
Wait. Isn't that show called The View?
Yeah.
Right? You're supposed to have views?
Yep.
Oh, but it's not called The Views. It's called The View.
Right.
So if you don't oblige to the one view, you shut the fuck up and you go to the corner.
So how's that racist?
Here's how. They've never suspended anyone else. It's one black woman. It's been 19 white women.
Sure.
So the one time a black woman speaks out of turn,
right?
Shut the fuck up. Get in your corner. Even though she went beyond her own, duty or obligation the next day to apologize, which was a sincere apology, and have someone from this Jewish organization come and explain where she was wrong.
Right.
They still like go, no, dude, shut up. You got a bad perspective.
Right.
That doesn't happen in any other organization anywhere. There's been no suspensions. You either get canceled or you don't.
Right.
So this like, shut the fuck up, go in the corner. That's fucked up. She made a mistake. She misspoke.
I think it happens more often than not, though, where people are not allowed to redeem themselves.
But she's allowed to. They are giving her way out. It's a 2-week suspension.
She wasn't fired. Yeah, yeah.
But there's other people who've said fucked up shit in that show that have never had that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I can't speak to that. I mean, I don't know.
Can you think of a time that someone else was suspended on TV?
I'm trying to say, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either.
As far as like being suspended.
I think it was definitely racially motivated. Like, I mean, think
Roseanne was fired for her comments about Kamala Harris.
Yeah, and no, it wasn't Kamala. It was Pocahontas.
No, Kamala Harris.
No, she.
It was racial.
No, but it wasn't
I'll
Kamala.
Pull it up.
All right, it wasn't Kamala.
Oh, it was Michelle Obama. You're right.
No, it wasn't Michelle Obama.
Bro.
Okay. No, was it? It was the girl she didn't know was black.
What?
Yes, go. It wasn't. You're wrong on both of them.
There's it might not have been fired
for comments on. It was like it was a like lady. A
producer or some shit?
No. It was a politician, but she looked light-skinned. That's why you're saying people that aren't light-skinned. That's why I know you're not right.
Bump, bump, bump. Let's see. Damn it.
She said she looked like a gorilla, but the girl wasn't even black. But she's like light-skinned black. I remember. But either way,
yep.
They didn't cancel Whoopi. They just put her in the corner.
Okay, you're right. It was a Valerie Jarrett, an African-American woman who was a senior advisor to Barack Obama throughout his presidency.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I remember that. I didn't remember her, but I remember the thing that Roseanne was saying, like, I didn't know she was black. She said some Planet of the Apes remark, some obviously stupid remark, which, yeah, you should be punished for.
So are you concerned with Whoopi Goldberg's suspension or the backhandedness?
I think it's just race motivated.
That she was suspended and not fired?
Yeah. No, well, she was put in the corner. Yeah, like yeah.
So what would be the appropriate correction?
She did the appropriate correction. She apologized the next day. She had someone from the Jewish delegation come in and say why she was
so wrong. That should have been enough.
That absolutely should have been enough.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
But then I also started to think about the fact that the show is called The View, not Views. It's like, it's The View. Don't have this view.
I'm not going to go into that, but I do agree that it is called The View and there's supposed to be multiple perspectives shared across different platforms. And if someone does speak out of turn, they should be, you know, educated. And at that point, hopefully, people of The View can review different perspectives and be open to, you know, things that they weren't privy to before or didn't understand before. I would hope that's what would occur. But like you said, you know, the suspension piece was kind of like, that's kind of a little much. I mean, at what point do we stop punishing people? Like,
well, or just what's the road to redemption?
Yeah, exactly. What's the road to redemption? Appropriate?
Yeah.
Yeah. For redemption.
Can you drop one of those orange buttons for Whoopi Goldberg? Anyways, at the end of the day, fuck her. She's got way more money than us.
But speaking of redemption, what the proper road for redemption would be, am I the asshole?
Uh-oh.
Would I be the asshole if I told my friend that she and her husband are rich because of nepotism?
Oh.
You know what nepotism is?
I know what nepotism is. Nepotism.
I had to goggle it.
Let me define. Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
To the best of my ability.
Yep.
Nepotism is the fact that you had inherited a responsibility,
yep.
Not items,
yep.
due to your family lineage. For instance, if your father owned a company,
yep,
you may well have a very important high position in that company because he owns it. Not to say whether or not you earned it.
Yeah.
Maybe you work really hard too.
Yeah.
But because your father put you there,
yeah,
that's nepotism as far as I know.
Solid. Yeah, that is actually correct. So
drop one of those blue buttons for me.
Solid, man. That was it. Yeah, that was right. So, so there's a person who has a close friend who lives a very privileged life, but, you know, downplays it. So I think it's nice and humble because they downplay the fact that they're quite well off. Mm-hmm. And her friend enjoys the perks of the money that her husband brings home. And why shouldn't they? It's good for them. For real. Yeah. But when she does start to feel uncomfortable or embarrassed about their wealth, she'll often talk about how her husband climbed the ladder at the company he works for, starting at the bottom and eventually becoming owner and CEO. Okay. Good for him, man. We started from the bottom, now we're here.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. The catch is, his father founded the company and he took over.
Okay.
So that's the clear thing of nepotism. You can't say like, oh, you know, I worked hard. You may have worked hard, but you have to acknowledge the clear pathway that was provided. But there
are fathers, dude, that would make you work harder than the guy next to you because you're his son.
That's also true.
So here's the thing. I work for a company, and the structure is in which, actually, this is a great segue into why we might be doing the show remote very soon. My father built this company up, but as an employee. This other guy bought the company. He has a son. This other guy made my dad the president of the company and his son the CEO. And the idea was that, hey, dude, you're my right-hand man, the owner to my dad.
Yep.
And your son is going to be my son's right-hand man. You guys will always be number two.
Yeah.
But you'll be great. We'll take care of you. You'll be blessed. Everything will be great.
You're a solid number two.
You'll be.
That's a healthy number two.
Right? So now for me, for my dad.
Yeah.
My dad is a fucking, you guys know him. If you listen to the show, you've heard him.
Yeah, he's on a couple episodes.
He's a solid dude.
Yep.
For him to be like, all right, I'll be your number two. And then this son, so whoever the fuck he said, I'll be your number two to, this son, he's got to be a grade A guy, right?
Sure, yeah.
I mean, I know him, but I'm just saying theoretically.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably a pretty solid dude.
Probably.
And he's offering me to be his number two.
Yeah.
Now I'm the fucking scatter erratic fucking ninja star. You know what I mean? Bouncing off walls and shit, crashing into fucking dividers.
Yeah.
And they just have this idea of like, we're all going to be a family.
Yeah.
Right? Nepotism.
Yeah.
But in nowhere in this fucking lineage is someone going to be lazy.
Yeah.
Incapable. Unintelligent. Unintolerable.
Yeah.
This company's based in Arkansas. Racist.
Yeah.
That there's no space for that.
Sure.
But should you fucking follow the line?
Yeah.
We're all going to make money. We're all going to do well. And we're all going to fucking hang out every Sunday after church.
Nice.
Whatever the fuck it is.
Right.
So there is a space for nepotism to work. But there is also a space where you just turn into fucking, I don't know.
Yeah, and I think that's where
one of those Hollywood actors.
That's where this person's coming from. Like, hey, you know, they bring this up a lot. It's obvious that she doesn't want to come off like a snobby, rich person. However, every time she tells this corporate ladder story.
Is it the spouse that's having trouble then? It seems like her husband is a subject of nepotism, and she...
Her husband, or her...
Or her
the person, spouse. The person.
The spouse.
Nope, the person...
My bad.
...has a friend. That friend's husband is the one who has benefited from the nepotism.
Okay, so who's having the issue?
The friend. So the friend is saying that her...
Yes, sorry.
...is saying that her friend brings this up a lot. Oh. She's saying that, you know, she's always saying, we started from the bottom, but now we're here. So she's kind of like...
I mean, I would like to think, look, dude, if I climb the ladder that I'm in, that I just described, I would like for my wife to be able to say, hey, we start from the bottom.
But yet at the same time, it's if you are not parading it and if you're not...
There's a way.
Misleading people to say like, oh, we did this completely by ourselves, no help whatsoever. So yeah, you worked hard. That is true.
That's true.
You hustled.
But that you is had true. The door was open. You had your foot.
Someone opened the door for you.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, yes. I think that
and also
leaving that part out is quite important.
Why talk about that?
Because it's annoying. I can see
why. No, that's what I'm saying. Just be where you are.
Oh yeah, exactly.
You don't fucking tell me how you got your house,
right?
And all the shit. You, like every time I come over, you don't go, "Hey, you know, Bob, I put money away. I worked real hard." Like,
yeah.
How about just shut the fuck up, like,
and just be.
Yeah,
exactly. And I think that's where this person is getting annoyed, and she's like, "Would I be the asshole if you know I wanted to correct her and say, hey, man,
yes,
you know, this is
yeah, you would
your daddy's gig. It's not you.
Yeah, you would. How about this?" That's just what you're doing is looking for a reason to not be with someone you don't like.
That's true.
Just don't fucking be around them.
Yeah. If you have a problem with someone,
just ghost them.
Yeah.
You guys are adults. They got money. Leave them alone. They're not going to fucking really miss you.
They'll be fine.
Yeah. Get rid of, you're just trying to figure out your importance in their life.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Drop one of a something for that perspective. All right.
Anyways, you got some you know what's?
I don't know. I wrote so much shit. Go. You got one?
I've been saving some.
All right.
And this is just me living life.
Okay.
Recently, I went to the grocery store, and I realized that the grocery divider is the OG pay it forward. Lay that shit out.
Oh.
If I walk up to the checkout counter, and you have, like, put all your stuff out already, the person in line first should lay it out for the person behind them. You know what I mean?
I put all my groceries out, and
as soon as I finish putting all my groceries out, I'm going to put the little fucking divider out. That's the pay it forward. If you want to pay it forward, don't do that shit at Starbucks. Do that shit at your local grocery store.
Yeah.
Put out the damn grocery divider.
Have you ever tried to buy one of those?
A grocery divider?
Yeah.
For what?
Well, purpose? You just put it up there, and the lady grabs it, and she puts it back, and you grab it, and you put it back, and she grabs it and puts it back, and you grab it and put it back. You're like, bitch, I want to buy this.
I got, how much you know is what? This? Yeah, what's up?
You know why they call it chemistry?
No.
Because no one gets it. I'm not talking about, like, the table of contents.
Right.
I'm talking about when you're in love with someone.
Yeah.
That's chemistry.
Oh, because no one understands it?
No one understands chemistry. They don't get it.
They just know it exists.
That's why. They can see it. Mm-hmm. They can see your attraction to that person.
Yeah.
They can appreciate it.
Yeah.
They can love it. They can adore it. They can hope the best for you.
Can't explain it.
No. That's why it's called chemistry.
That makes total fucking sense. I don't fucking understand it. Hey, you know what?
What's that, brother?
If you put your social media handle on your fucking car, it better lead to something entertaining.
Oh, dude.
Otherwise, you're just a douche. So I spent a lot of time in traffic, and I'm driving, you know, to work and driving home from work. Spent a lot of time in traffic, and I see this quite a bit. And I myself wanted to put my social media handle on my car because clearly I'm in traffic all the time.
That's how you catch a lawsuit.
hit and run. But here's the thing. Like, I see a lot of other cars do it, and I just wonder to myself, because I've done it a couple times where I search the person.
Yeah.
There's nothing of value
you are. No, they're always shit. Yeah.
You're just a fucking douchebag. Look at my car or look at my dogs. And it's like, why do you feel a need to advertise on your car so people can follow you? And I just don't fucking get it.
No, you're
really, really annoying.
It's
but
super self-centric.
How dope would it be
that
if there was a universal rule that if you have a social media handle on your car, it's because you're offering something. Oh, dope. So I saw a car. Like, oh, shit. Like, social media handle. I got to look it up. Maybe they're a photographer.
Oh, maybe they're like a there's musician. A value, like a coupon.
Not a coupon.
No, just some sort of exchange.
No, you're guaranteed that you're going to be entertained by this person.
Oh.
If I'm going to check out your social media, it's because you're a musician, because you're a filmmaker, you're a podcaster. There's a good reason for me to check out your social media.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't want to see your fucking car. I don't fucking care.
I had an idea. I wanted to introduce a new segment.
Sure.
Called Controversial Thoughts.
Oh, here we go.
Right? Where you just present like a controversial thought.
We've done those a couple times. Just never under a segment banner, but yeah.
All right. So, well, do you have any more you know what's?
Nope, that was it.
All right. So, controversial thought.
Yup.
Rape can be cute.
Who?
Rape.
Rape?
Can be cute. Controversial thought.
Yeah, ma'am. I don't know.
Let me tell you. Let me get you there.
Okay.
All right. Don't agree.
I'm headed for the door.
No, wait. Wait. You ever seen your dog? I didn't even know that one existed.
Continue.
Have you ever seen your dog try to fuck another dog?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, you're pulling back, but also you're kind of like, no, fuck that dog, dude. Like, go for it, dude. That's rape. Your dog is raping another dog.
Yeah.
But you're like rooting for your dog. So like, you know, like, it's just not always what people say it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Controversial thought.
So I think
it's cute when my dog face fucks another dog who doesn't want to get fucked. It's cute.
I think this
you saw my dog. He's fucking 6 ounces.
I think this is going to be one of those examples where people look back.
Go back.
Hey, intern, erase this fucking segment.
They're
going to look at this segment and like, oh, right, man.
Context. I got a controversial thought you and I can debate. What we got, like 4 minutes?
We got time.
All right. Controversial thought.
Yeah.
No Diggity.
No Doubt.
Was the best song in the 90s.
Oh, hold on. Okay.
Oh.
That's a strong contender.
Dude.
That's a really strong contender. I wouldn't just dismiss it outright.
Right.
That's
what makes it competitive.
It was solid.
Yeah.
But best song of the 90s. I don't know. Chumbawamba was up there.
No!
I get knocked down.
No, he talks about...
so inspirational.
He'll fucking but I get up again. Manson in that song. We'll kick your lily ass. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, you won't fight Marilyn Manson.
Yep.
All right. Do you have a controversial thought? It doesn't have to be as controversial.
Obviously. No, not part.
Cheddar cheese is better than Worcestershire sauce.
Oh, I just shared one the other day at work. I said, unpopular opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Toy Story is the greatest film trilogy of all time.
Oh.
All time. No. Each film.
I disagree.
Flawless.
I disagree. That's the first three Star Wars.
First three Star Wars?
Yep.
The first one was good. The second one... Return of the Jedi was my favorite.
Well, here's the thing. That was my favorite, too. But have you watched it again recently?
No.
It sucks.
That's what I'm saying.
All right, Toy Story. All right, what other trilogies? Give me other trilogies.
People always bring up The Godfather.
Nah.
People always bring up Lord of the Rings. People always bring up...
Harry Potter. I didn't do that.
I didn't do that.
Toy Story is above all of those, for sure. Hold on, though.
Greatest film trilogy of all time.
Hold on. Film trilogies.
Look it up right now.
Yeah. Willing to have this conversation. And this is exactly what I meant.
Jurassic Park was pretty bad. Indiana Jones.
Oh.
Oh, Back to the Future. People always bring up Back to the Future.
Oh, whoa. I hated Back to the Future. Indiana Jones.
Really? You hated Back to the Future?
My brother is a nerd. He lived up. I didn't like him because of him.
Got it.
But Indiana Jones. But that wasn't really a trilogy. It was three different movies. A trilogy is kind of like lineage, right?
Okay, it follows like a...
Yeah, right? Like a storyline, right? Story or line. Am I being fair or am I not being fair?
I would say just three movies.
Okay, well...
I would say Indiana Jones trilogy, not as good as Toy Story.
No.
I think Toy Story was flawless.
Well, wait, what is the Indiana Jones trilogy? It's... Because it's...
Raiders?
No, Raiders, that's the last one.
No, Raiders is first. Last Crusade is the last one.
Oh, that's the best one, by the way.
Sean Connery? Yeah.
Yeah.
Facts.
All right, yeah.
People will talk about Back to the Future. They'll always talk about Back to the Future as being a great trilogy.
See, Swingers and Maid, to me, is a great duo.
Not a trilogy. Matrix, that's a trilogy.
Oh, that's the
X-Men
best.
X-Men trilogy.
Matrix
trilogy. Nah.
Matrix. Yeah, no. Yeah. Dude, Matrix Revolutions? Matrix was fucking dope, dude.
I'm just not seeing it.
Over Toy Story?
Oh, Matrix over Toy Story?
Yes!
What the hell?
Oh, get...
No!
All right, I got a controversial
thought. Alien trilogy?
Oh, that's great.
What was part three about?
It has the third alien. That's all I remember.
Alien 3?
No, you know what I love about Alien?
The third alien.
Aliens figured out how to make the monster never shown on screen. So the whole movie, they're like around the corner like this.
Yeah, yeah, because you never see it.
Exactly. So yeah. I loved that.
But as a trilogy, though, I think as a complete package,
they were phenomenal.
Toy Story is just excellent.
You
all
might
the way
be right.
And
you know what? You caught me because I'm not in a place to argue otherwise, except for The Matrix.
And I love the fact that the Toy Story trilogy is like the underdog. People automatically dismiss it because it's like a child's film. It's a fucking Disney Pixar movie, but flawless storytelling.
So, I wrote this, and it sounds dope, but I don't think it's a controversial thought. The only thing that falls freely from the sky also climbs, defying gravity.
Are you the Riddler now?
No, it's water.
Oh.
But I don't know how that's a controversial thought.
What now, Batman?
All right. I'm going to go pee. The show's over.
As always, want to thank you all for joining us here in Pound Town. But before we go, we want to remind you to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help the show grow. Get on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do, drop a dollar in the Venmo at Social Nuisance. And lastly, don't forget, there is still power in numbers, and together we can be a nuisance towards the betterment of humanity. My name is Imagine. The main man Motion has left to use the restroom, so it's just me now. Lonely. And we'll see y'all next week on the Social Nuisance Podcast.